therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk therein. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight, God, for letting us come to your house. I pray, God, now you'd move on us now these next few minutes. Holy Ghost, I pray you'd take over. There's nothing I can say or do tonight to help anybody or help myself. But Lord, I pray, God, now you'd take your word and use it, God, tonight to help us and work in us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to think about some old paths for the new year. Amen. You know, a lot of times, New Year's message, you talk about starting over or what you need to do in the new year. I want you to think about some old paths tonight. Amen. You know, the thing about it is, those old ways is what we need more of now. Amen. I don't know, just in the short time, well, I say short time, it's getting longer time all the time, I guess. But I've not really been saved that long, just since about 91 or 2, somewhere along in there. And, there's been a dramatic change in the way people worship and the way people live. To the worst. I mean, it used to be, when I first got saved, got on fire for God, I could go anywhere, just about any week, and get in a meeting where God was at. I mean, the Holy Ghost, I mean, people getting right. You could feel the power of God there, and now they're few and far between. You have to hunt them now. I mean, used to, if you heard somebody's having revival, just about, you could go there and God would be there. I mean, you know, in good churches anyway. But now, I mean, it's hard to find. Used to be every day of the week you could go get in a good meeting. Now you've got to wait on them to come around now. There's something wrong. I'll tell you what it is. We need to seek out the old paths. We need to get back where we used to be. Those old paths. You know what the main ingredient that's missing is? God's people don't pray no more like they used to. Me included, as far as that goes. I mean, it used to be, there were some people, I mean, prayer warriors. I knew a lot of people when I first got saved. If you called them at a certain time of the day, you didn't talk to them. Because they was in their prayer closet. And that's when they prayed, and you didn't bother them. You didn't bother them. Kathy, whenever she was growing up, if her mama was praying, you didn't go bother her. You got wore out. House better be on fire. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. There's not any prayer warriors anymore, not many anyway. Used to be every church had at least two or three good ones in it. Real good churches had 15 or 20 in it. How many is in your church? Are you one of them? Amen. We need to get back to the old ways. We're in a mess. Amen. We're in a mess. You know, we talk about contemporary junk that goes on now, and I hate it worse than anything. Probably as much as anybody. Every time I better watch out, I get mad. Every time I get to preaching on it at our place, I get mad. But you know what? We ought to be mad at ourselves. We got the right kind of music. We got the right Bible. We got the right doctrine. We're lacking in power. That comes through prayer. That comes through seeking God. Desiring the old paths. We're missing it. You know, I see a lot of people that, I mean, there's a lot of y'all in here tonight. Y'all ain't got a clue what I'm talking about because you ain't never been in. Maybe a good service every once in a while. But I mean a real move of God. Where it lasted a little while. I mean, you know, we go to camp or we go to camp meeting or we go to, you know, a good revival here and there. And we get a little spark for a few weeks. And it just kind of dies back down. We need a real revival. We need one of them that lasts for a while. We need one of them where people's lives are changed forever. I mean, I love to see people get saved, amen? But you know what's great? I mean, I don't guess it's greater than that, but you know what? Once they get saved, they need to get, their whole life needs to be sold out to God. And you ain't seeing that much anymore.
Amen.
Somebody's life changed to the point to where they stay in there.
Right.
No matter what.
Amen.
No matter what. That takes a real move of God. That takes a real move of God. And that only comes, you know, the thing about it is we got what we want. You know that? We really do. We got what we want. If we want God, we can have Him. He ain't changed one bit. He ain't changed one bit. We need to seek Him. Amen. We need to get back to the old paths. Spending time alone with the Lord. I was listening to Brother Dane on tape today. Preached down at Amazing Grace probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago. Right after y'all's church started. And he said the key to the whole thing is time and surrender. Time and surrender. That's the truth.
Amen.
We're not surrendered and we ain't spending the time.
Amen.
We got too much other stuff we'd rather do.
That's right.
We do what our flesh likes instead of what we need to do.
That's right.
There's people all around us dying and going to hell.
Preacher.
And there's people's lives.
Amen.
Our friends and our Christian brothers and sisters whose lives are a mess.
Amen.
Some of our lives are a mess. And we ain't spending the time we need to with God. For the new year, you know what we need to do? We need to get back to the old ways. To the old ways. We need to get to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, he's telling us the truth, y'all.
He's telling us the truth. That's what we need to do, get back to them old ways. And he said, I don't want to hear that. The truth. That's the truth. Amen. Let's have the Neal family. Y'all come on and sing for us, y'all. Sure is a blessing to have these folks with us. They're from Louisville, Kentucky. And I met them up there years ago in revival. And my, what a blessing they've been to us over the times they've been here. And I know they will be a blessing to you tonight. What a blessing they are. Amen. 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 Merry Christmas.
Put this one off, brother.
We'll sing it.
Rocked by waves and howling winds and the storm that threatened them, the disciples sailed a boat on Galilee. They were tired and full of fright, and they had fought the storm all night, till the Master came walking on the sea. Be not afraid, for it is I. In the fourth watch of the night, you fought and prayed, now I am here, and it's all right. The storms will rage, the winds will blow, but they are under my control. It won't be long till morning breaks. Be not afraid. Hope seems gone, the day is done, and the night keeps pressing on. Doctors say that they've done all that they can do. Around the clock, the family prays, but help's already
on the way. Without a doubt, another doctor is in the room. Be not afraid, for it is I. In the fourth watch of the night, you fought and prayed. Now I am here, and it's all right. The storms will raise, the winds will blow, but they are under my control. It won't be long till morning breaks. Be not afraid. Be not afraid, for it is I. In the fourth watch of the night, you fought and prayed. Now I am here, and it's all right. The storms will raise, the winds will blow, but they are under my control. It won't be long till morning breaks. Be not afraid. The storms will raise, the winds will blow, but they are under my control. It won't be long till morning breaks. Be not afraid. Be not afraid.
I'll make it home. Brother Danny, the last time we was here at camp meeting, I went home, and all night long I kept thinking, I need to call my younger brother when I get back. And we were pulled in about 5 o'clock that morning, and the phone was ringing, and my little brother, who was 6 years younger than me, had died. They left me a message and told me that he died, and I thought how my heart was broken because I practically raised him. But right after that, we learned this song, and I want Sarah to sing, and it simply says, Beyond the Grave. I'm glad that there ain't going to be no more death. Ain't going to be no more goodbyes. And be no sickness. If you're ready to go, this is the last time you'll say goodbye to somebody. I'm so thankful that when I was 8 years old that I bowed at an altar 100 miles away from home. Had to borrow clothes to go to church that night, but Jesus came by, saved my soul. I'm thankful for that. Listen as Sarah sings this.
Again, to face destiny no more. No more goodbyes. Gotta wipe the tears from our eyes. There's no more dying beyond the grave. To face destiny no more. No more goodbyes. Gotta wipe the tears from our eyes. There's no more dying beyond the grave. No more goodbyes. Gotta wipe the tears from beyond the grave. There's no more dying beyond the grave.
I want him to just play softly tonight. And Bo, come up here just a second. You know, here it's New Year's Eve, and we've all went through this year, and we don't know what we're going to be facing this coming year. No idea. You might have the best year ever or the worst year ever. We don't know. People say, well, just believe. You know, that stuff don't work. My philosophy's always been you hope for the best, expect the worst, and just take what comes, keep your mouth shut, thank God you ain't in hell. That's right. If you expect the worst, you can't never be disappointed. Because no matter what happens, saying, well, it ain't bad as I thought it was going to be. If you're not going to hell, You got something to be thankful for. Bo's only, are you still 37?
36
years old. Just found out he had cancer a few months ago and battling for his life right now. And God's using him and his testimony around different churches. He's going around talking. Been several place churches preaching in the last few weeks. And I tell you, he's been an inspiration to our whole church. And if he would, I want him to just tell you what the Lord's doing in his life. We have a lot of visitors tonight. And then maybe y'all could sing my song that I always ask you to sing, if that's okay. You ain't forgot it, hey? You ain't forgot it?
No.
Amen. My favorite song that they sing. And what I want to try to do tonight is get you to realize that it's not really down here what's really important. My mom's gone now. My sister's gone. My daddy's gone. And we're all going.
Yep.
Maybe sooner than him. Doctor gave him less. He's got less than 12 months, according to them. But we don't know. I may have less than 12 hours. So you listen now, and then they'll be singing.
Well, guys, I guess the best way to sum everything up is through cancer, it's made me grow spiritually like I never thought I would ever experience. Through cancer, I've learned how to be humble. I've learned how to seek with all my heart. I've learned what prayer is and how it works. I've learned what it's like to be humble and happy for the first time in my life. So with cancer, I can say I'm the happiest I've ever been, ever.
Amen.
You know, it's because of prayer that I'm standing here tonight. It's because of prayer that I'm able to go do my testimonies. It's because of prayer that I'm just able to even experience another New Year's here with you guys here tonight. You know, and it's just, you know, through this cancer, I've seen a daughter saved. I've seen family grow closer to the Lord. Our family's seen a lot of answered prayers through this. You know, and it's just, you know, do I fear going home? Absolutely not. I'm ready. I'm humble. Lord prepared me for that peace. I have that. He's put that peace in me. I'm prepared for whenever that time does come. What I fear is what's the time I have left here. The pain that I may endure, the pain that my family may endure, that I fear, that I'm scared of. But I just praise His name and thank God. At the age of 13, there was a preacher willing to knock on the door. And at the age of 13, I accepted salvation because somebody wasn't lazy on the couch and willing to get up and go knock on the door. Guys, it's time for us to go to work. It's time to quit being lazy. It's time for us as Christians to go out, share the word. It's time for us to go win that one more soul. You know, the scripture tells us that when we don't have a chance to lead someone to salvation and we pass them by, that we're going to answer for that. That blood's going to be on our hands. And you know, we don't realize and you don't think about what it's going to be like that day we stand before the Lord and we have to face Him one-on-one with the decisions we make in life, the simple decisions and the major ones. Until the doctors look at you and tell you, you got 12 months to live. And then things really starts, you really start thinking and taking this thing seriously. But one thing we got to remember in Scripture, nowhere in Scripture does it say this is life. Our life does not begin until this thing we call world is over.
Amen.
Then life begins. Life is eternal. And that is what I'm trying to prepare for. And that's it. You know, and the thing is with this cancer, guys, a lot of people don't feel sorry for me, you know, because the Lord has blessed me through this. He's given me an opportunity to develop myself and get myself where I need to be to prepare for that day when He calls me. He's blessed me because I've got time to settle up what I need to settle up spiritually, to settle up my time with my family, to make amends, to make things right. So, you know, I'm being blessed by this cancer. I am being blessed because a lot of people don't have that time. It's just immediate death. You know, so, you know, I praise His name that He keeps me comfortable. I love the Lord. I love what He's done in my life. I love the humble and the peace He's put in me. But most of all, it's just I realize what life is really about is preparing for eternity.
Amen.
So, you know, just keep praying and shine a light. I love you guys to death. You guys have been a backbone for me. Brother Danny, you've been a major backbone to me, a great mentor, a good man of God. And if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be able to stand up here with the confidence I have. It's because of the prayer that you guys keep pushing my way. And that's the only thing keeping me going. So you guys just keep praying, and I just pray the Lord have His will through this. But, you know, if it's 12 months, then be it. If it's 6, then be it. But, you know, only the Lord's in control. It could be 10. We just don't know. So I just want to say I love you and I thank you. And just keep the prayers coming, because I know that's my medication. That's what's keeping me going, guys.
Amen. Amen. Y'all listen now.
I think tonight, night you got saved. I got saved when I was 18 years old at Nebo Baptist Church. Been a lot of water went under the bridge since then. I talked to my cousin the other day and hadn't seen him in years. He got saved the night after I did. And he got out and got messed up and got on cocaine and really messed up his life really bad. And me and him was talking about old times. About, he said, Danny, when you got saved, you changed. And I said, I sure did. And he said, I did too. But he said, I messed up. And he said, the whole time I was out there sinning, he said, there was something inside me kept saying, you're wrong, you're doing wrong, this ain't right. You know what? That's the way it is when you're saved. You might go out and do something awful. Saved people do sometimes. But there's a little voice in there saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I ain't never been the same since tonight. The Lord say, amen. I love Him tonight because He's my hope. He's my hope. He's my hope for them kids. He's my hope for my grandkids. He's my hope for all of us tonight. The Lord has been good to me, and I love to hear them sing this song. You pray for them. Well, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight. Amen. Yeah, I know what He done for me,
His power.
Come on, girls, pray.
In the blood of
Come on.
Lamb.
I believe tonight.
Woo!
Hey!
In the touch of His hand.
But the greatest of all miracles. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what He saved me.
Jesus saved.
Yes, I know.
Oh, yes, I know. What Jesus did for me.
Well, if you need some help tonight, come on and get it. Amen. Come on right now. Listen now. Need help tonight? Need a burden lifted? You need something from the Lord to start the new year? Get it right here tonight. Amen. Come on. Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead. I've seen Him. Loose the chains of sin. Glory to God. Yeah, come on, brother. Amen. Y'all pray for this man right here.
just lost his wife just a couple of weeks ago. 30 years old. Just lost her by suicide. Y'all pray for him. He needs prayer tonight.
Please,
I tell you tonight, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. Come on. Come on. Let's get some help tonight. Come on. Amen.
In the touch of His hand.
Oh, glory. Woo! Hallelujah! Ain't it good to be saved?
Oh, yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
Y'all pray for this man tonight. He's the one that just lost his wife, and it was his sister, only 30 years old. These people in bad shape, having problems. We'll start the new year off right. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I ain't out there in some party tonight, drunk. Don't even know where I've been, what I've done. I'm glad that I'm in the house of God tonight. Now go ahead, sister. Amen. Let's obey the Lord tonight. Yes, I know. Amen. That little boy right there just lost his mama. My, my, my. Amen. Come on now, sing, y'all.
Believe there is power.
That's right.
In the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. And hallelujah.
Believe there is healing.
That's right.
In the blood. His hand.
Hey, come on now, thank God. Greatest of all miracles. Oh, hallelujah. When He saved me. Yes.
Oh, yes, I know.
Listen now. Need some help tonight. Come on. Teenagers, mamas, daddies. Amen. Yeah, come on. Amen.
Yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
Ah, my. Come on, brag on Him.
I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb.
Come on, man.
Believe there is healing.
Hey, man.
In the touch of.
That's the greatest.
Yeah.
Well, glory.
Oh, yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Oh, yes, I know Jesus did for me.
Yes,
yes, I know
what
Jesus did
for me. I know what He did for me.
I like
that.
But when he saved my soul, it's more to be that night than what they do.
Amen. Amen.
But if he hadn't given me all that, it's still been worth it all. But I am so thankful I'm here.
Amen. Just before you sing that, sing one more. I don't know what. Sing one more good. You got another good?
Yeah, we got a good one.
Oh, none of them ain't no good. Listen. Did you see any of Whitney Houston's funeral? Everybody's talking about it. I watched about 10 minutes of it, and there were some people saying amen and waving their hand. It was an absolute mess what it was, but there was some people in there, I believe, loved the Lord. And the news commentators got on there, and they said, "We have never seen a Baptist service. Is this the way Baptists do all the time?" And I thought, it makes you realize how dumb them people are. The ones that run CNN and ABC and they're completely ignorant. They don't even know stuff like this exists. Hollywood don't even know there is something like this tonight. They think church is just dead. They think it's Catholic. That's what they think church is. That's all they know about church. We here in the South, we've been raised in this all our life, and man, we take it for granted, but they don't even know. They don't even know something about old-time religion. They think when you get up here to sing, it's a performance.
Yeah.
And you got a plan. When I come in here tonight, I didn't even have an idea what I was going to do. I had some things I'm going to say, but that's it.
Yeah.
They can't believe that we would meet and not have everything just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Lord, ain't no telling what we're liable to do here tonight. Daddy and them used to say they was going to tie one on. That means they was going to get drunk. And I don't mean to sound irreverent, but that's what we're doing here tonight, spiritually.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right, Brother Brian, you probably knew what that meant, didn't you? I figured you did. Huh? Yeah. Y'all pray for this. You know, stand up there, Jason. He's the one that just lost his wife, and she was only 30, that little boy's mama. It's been, what, 3 weeks? 3-4 weeks?
Help him more.
He come to church. He done the right thing.
Yep.
Come to God. And that's her brother. That was her brother right there. Stand up.
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
John.
Bless him, Lord.
And that's her son. And
bless him, Lord.
They done the right thing.
Yep.
They didn't go out and get drunk to party. They come to church. That's your answer right there.
Amen.
That's your answer. All right. Y'all sing another one right quick. You got another one.
I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden,
yeah,
where old Joseph left him lay, the precious lamb, God's own begotten. He was no longer in that grave. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he
death has died. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Friend, I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? But just one step in His direction, then in love He ran to me. If you knew Him like I know Him, you would know that He's alive. If you felt Him like I feel Him, resurrection deep inside, you know He's living and death has died. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. If you felt Him like I feel Him, resurrection deep inside, and death has died. Death has died.
Amen. Good. Where's that? Yeah. Man, say amen right there. Stay up there at the piano just a minute, brother. I want to do something that we do every year at this time. I see my buddy from Knoxville finally made it. Stand up over there, Rob. Just what? Where were you been, man? Amen. I was getting worried about you. We prayed for you. Glad you made it in. Amen. I want to do something we do every year. And a lot of people get so embarrassed and their feelings hurt and everything else. But I don't do it for that reason. We don't do it for the glory of God. Everybody who read your whole Bible through this year, you read your entire Bible through, every word, King James Bible. I want you to come up here and stand behind me. We'll make a little line right across here. Right quick, play something, brother, while they're coming. Come on, we encourage our folks every year, read your Bible through. Stand, make a line this way, right down through there, toward that door. He wanted me to let you know that Kathy didn't read her Bible. I was standing here wondering, Kathy didn't read her Bible. I was already thinking about it. I'm glad he told me. I thought she'd back to it. I think I said make a line toward the door, but I guess this is all right. How'd you like to try to be a preacher? Cream of the crop. All right, now, two things I want to say. I'm so thankful for y'all, and I'm so ashamed of y'all. And I don't mean that to be a smart aleck. What I'm trying to do is gouge you, punch you a little bit. You can read your Bible through this year. You ain't too busy. There's not one person in here too busy to read the Bible through. You say, well, I just like to study different, you know, whatever. You can read it too. The Bible says we're supposed to read it and we're supposed to study it. You ain't supposed to study all the time. You ain't supposed to read all the time. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what?
Every word.
Every word. I got to read my Bible through again this year for the, I don't know, so many years in a row. I've been doing it since 30 years. And I've gotten the New Testament
78 times, and the New Old Testament about 30 times, and I'm not bragging, that ain't enough. George Mueller read the Bible through 200 times, 100 on his knees, and that's how he got things from God. Raised over $1 million back over 150 years ago, it'd be like 100 million nowadays, and never took up an offering. And on his knees, he stayed in that book. That book is what's going to get us through this coming year. And I thank the Lord that I got to read my Bible through again. Come on, people. Next year, you be standing up here if the Lord don't come. At five chapters a day, five a day, ain't nobody in here too busy for that. You can read the whole Bible through once and almost, you can read your New Testament twice and your Old Testament once, five a day. At 10 per day, you can read the Old Testament like twice and the New Testament seven times. 10 chapters a day. You could read the whole New Testament, one chapter a day, and be backslid 105 days and still read it through at one chapter a day. There's only 260 chapters. So there's no excuse. No excuse. So I want to ask everybody, ask the Lord to forgive you. I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you. You say, you're making me feel... You should feel bad. God give you something good as the Bible, don't even read it. And so let's ask the Lord to forgive you and say, God, tomorrow morning I'm getting up. You read three chapters in Genesis and two in Matthew. Three the next day in Genesis, two in Matthew. And you can go through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once this coming year. Okay? Thank the Lord. All right. He's going to play. And I want y'all to come right here and just say something right quick. And or you can just pass on by and say, to God be the glory. Go ahead, brother.
One peanut.
Anything you want to. You're a piano player.
I want to thank the Lord for saving me. You know, I've been saved for a long time, but, you know, I've never really been pushed to read my Bible all through the year. But since I've come here, this is my third year doing it all the way through.
Amen.
So I just want to praise God for it.
Amen, sister. Amen, sister.
And I just want to tell you, this is not new. Brother Danny's been doing this since late 1970s. That's when I heard him first say it. And he had everybody get up that had read their Bible. And I was sitting back there and I thought, oh, I would love to be able to say that I did that. So the rest of the time when he says, everybody that's read your Bible said, I want you up here. And here I am, and it's not nothing that I've done. It's what God has done for me. He puts it in my heart. Brother Danny inspired me the first time. He made me realize how important it was. But then God does it. And if I miss one day reading my Bible, God convicts me of it. He says, hey, you haven't done what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
So I just praise Him tonight, and I thank Him for saving my soul.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, Brother James.
How many times did you do it this year? Three times this year. Amen.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me. And, you know, ever since I was about 15, I've been reading my Bible through, minus 2 years when I had kids. But, you know, the most important thing for me and my family is I want my boys to see me read the Bible.
Amen.
I want them to see me live for the Lord so that they'll live for the Lord.
Come on.
You know, I just thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to be a mom and to pass them to my kids.
Hallelujah, sister. Amen. Appreciate that, Lisa.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. I was sitting back there thinking I've been saved 18 years this year coming up, and that seems like a long time, but it's really not. And I was just thinking today, and I was talking to my kids last night, I thank God so much for saving my soul, and He's been such a blessing to me and my family.
Amen.
And every day that I walk with Him, it just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, and I just can't brag on Him enough. And
Woo!
I want everybody to know that I love Him, and He is my heart's desire, and I just want to spend the rest of my life serving Him and just tell Him tonight how much I love Him and lift Him up.
Amen.
I would just like to thank Jesus for saving me. He saved me in 1969.
I'm sorry. I just came from... I was upset when I came in. I just came from... we lost a lady today. We had her celebration ceremony. She went home to be the Lord that I did prison ministry with. And I had to go tonight to tell the ladies in jail that she had passed away. And it's just a real hard thing for me tonight. So I'm sorry that I did this, but that's why.
Amen. Bless
but,
the Lord.
I just am so grateful to the Lord for what He's done for me and for the family that He gave me, for the wonderful son that He gave me.
Amen.
And just, He blesses me every day. And there's nothing that I can ever do to repay Him except live for Him. And I'll do that forever.
Bless your heart, sister. Appreciate you. That girl right there, how old are you? 15 years old. She's been coming to church probably a couple years, maybe.
I want to thank the Lord for saving me. I'm very unworthy. Brother Danny Castle, I've known you for a few years now, and you've been a blessing to me coming to Tabernacle Baptist Church in Denver, North Carolina. I want to thank a dear, sweet grandmother who took the time to read Bible stories to a little five-year-old boy who nobody wanted.
I like that.
But she did. She took an interest in me.
Amen.
And she told me, for the youngest of age, she said, "Paul, read that King James Bible that I've given you, and you'll do well." And you know what? I'm almost 50 now. She went home to be with the Lord in 1991, and essentially I lost my mother when she died. But I know where she is. I'm looking forward to seeing her again.
Amen.
And I want to tell her that I'm glad that you love me when nobody else would, and the Lord too. And I can say tonight that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live.
Amen.
Yet not I.
Amen.
But Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Amen. Amen, brother. That's good, brother. Appreciate you.
I want to say I love the Lord with all my heart, and I thank Him for saving me. He's been better to me, I think, than to anybody. And I feel like I'm the worst one, that, you know, I'm the least deserving of it. But He's been good to me, and I thank Him and I praise Him. And, you know, that's what I want in the new year, to live closer to Him and to do more for Him and to serve Him with all my heart. Because, folks, He's coming soon. And I want to be, I am ready, but I want to get other people ready to go with me, you know.
Amen, sister.
Now, as a pastor, I better have read my Bible through the year. I did, but I must confess there are some parts I read real quick. Joash, the son of Amoz, the son of Hiddekel, just kind of go on. But that book is the anchor of my family. It's the anchor of my soul. I think a lot of times about churches and pastors and the ministry, there's a lot of feelings involved. But
yes,
there's a quote that I heard years ago that said, "For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, none else is worth believing. For though my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. So I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever.
Yep.
For though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever."
Amen.
I love the book tonight.
Amen, preacher. Appreciate that, Brother Chris. Amen. Good.
I've been saved 45 years, but I've not read my Bible in maybe 18 years. There's a man that inspired me. I got tired of seeing people stand up and I couldn't. But I thank Him. I thank God for saving me and helping me. Don't see too good no more. I might have to listen to it next year.
Amen, Brother Ray.
Amen. I'm like that fella. I've saved for many years and read the Bible through several times. But last year, Brother Danny did this, and it convicted me just like that. And I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to do something this year. Especially since last year was the anniversary of this King James. It was its 400th anniversary.
Right.
And I was like, man, it's like we just let it go. I just let it go without the greatest book the world's ever seen.
Man.
I just didn't take the time to read it. So same meeting, just like this. I said, I'm going to read it. And the conviction was not just because I didn't read it. It's because I knew that I wasn't securing my area that God gave me secure on the backside, on the top side of Knoxville, Tennessee, just a little church, a little youth group, and I wanted to be a better soldier for them.
Man,
I wanted to secure my area. And Brother Danny, just thank you for that. You provoked me unto good works, and God used that to provoke them to good works.
Amen.
I just thank
brother.
God for you, Brother Danny. Thank you. And thank
Amen,
God for King
brother.
James. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you, brother. Good to see you.
It's good to be saved, and thank God for my church family.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Thank the Lord I'm saved. I got saved in the fall of 91, and right before New Year's, a week or two before that, I heard Brother Danny on the radio saying, you need to read your Bible through next year. And I'd already been reading, and so I'd made up my mind I was going to read the Bible all the way through, and I started in January in Genesis. Took me 2 years. I couldn't read very good when I first got saved. Took me 2 years to finish it, but
Amen.
I made up my mind I was going to do it.
Amen.
And it took me 2 years, but ever since then, I've read it all the way through every year. A couple of years, I've read it twice. I read the New Testament 7 days one time, read the whole Bible in 66 days one time, but it only takes 72 hours, amen? You have it on tape, 72 hours on tape, so you can read it at a normal, just speaking voice in 72 hours. Ain't nobody in here got an excuse not to read it, amen?
Amen.
I told my church yesterday morning, you still got time to finish, amen? So I'm going to read it. None of them do it but me and Kathy, but anyway.
Amen.
God's good to us, amen?
Amen.
He gave us His Word for a reason. That's your instruction manual for life. You need to read it, amen? Ain't none of it. If you can read, you ain't got no excuse.
That's right.
Amen. You ain't, amen? God's good to us.
Amen.
I was standing up here. I'm trying to think of something spiritual I could say. Nothing's really come to me. I thank God for saving me. Prior to March 14th, 2004, I've never attempted to read my Bible all the way through. I didn't get as much as I wanted to. Read all the way through and started the New Testament again, some of the Old Testament. Lord's been good to me. You know, I think He's been good to all of us. And I just want to say, it's hard for me right now, I don't know why, to kind of witness.
Bless Him, Lord.
It's not wanting to witness, it's just people's hard-heartedness and rejection.
That's right.
Talking to a few people on the internet, you know, commenting back and forth, and just people are so, you know, I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe there is, you know, you can't prove there's an atheist. Prove there's no somebody doesn't believe in God. I don't believe that. I do believe there are people full of the devil and hate God, and that's a very sad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, He calls it to rain on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
His blessings fall on everybody on this world. It's. I know what He's done for me, and I hate to see the Lord reject it. But it makes me, the last few months, looking for His coming. And I hope He comes soon.
Amen, brother.
And I just thank the Lord for saving me.
Amen. All right. Now listen, before we do something else, I know some of you are mad at me, but I risk it. I risk you getting mad at me. I'd rather you get mad at me if I push you a little bit. And what I've done is I've just pushed you a little bit. And you get mad at somebody when they push you, but you know why I do that? Because I love you. And I will see you do that. You say, well, it don't matter if you're... It does matter. God wouldn't have wrote it if He didn't want us to read it.
Amen.
He wouldn't have put Amos in the Bible if He didn't want you to read Amos. That's right. And so, determine in your heart, starting tomorrow morning, you can start after 12 o'clock tonight, and get through that thing this year. If you get behind, make yourself get caught up. I believe that everybody ought to take a day off work once in a while. You do for everything else. You do for doctor appointment, dentist appointment, got a toothache. You ought to take a day off work and say, I need to work on my soul today. And go in the woods or go in the bathroom, bedroom, closet, close the door and stay in there with God all day. I believe that. I do it. I do it occasionally. You have to. I don't see how people stay right with God and never read the Bible. Don't tell them church. I come. Every time you see them, they're shouting. They know something I don't know. I go to church all the time and stay backslid. All right, let's do this evening. We're going to have our offering right quick. Ushers, come on right quick. We're going to take up an offering, help these the Nail family up and down the road. They travel full time. You see that big camper out there? That's pretty neat, man. How much kind of gas mileage you get on that thing?
About 4 miles
a gallon. Oh, that's pretty good. Tells you $100 to get to from here to Morganton.
That'll get us to the border. Tennessee.
Well, anyway, let's help them out and be a blessing to them tonight. Let's give this, give something good. Some of you can give good, some of you can't. Just do what you can. If you can, you can. Could, you should, and you can do it. Can't, you can't. Let's all stand. Let's all stand tonight, and let's obey the Lord. Kelsey, why don't you get a song ready? You got one? Amen. She'll be singing in just a minute, and then we're going to do something else for her. All right. Everybody, please, give something good tonight. The Lord will bless you for it. Father, thank you so much for the good singing and preaching and encouragement we've had tonight. I pray you bless everybody here. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you give us eyes that we can read and a mind that we can think. And I pray that you would help us to get in your word this year more than ever before. Thy word is a lamp on our feet, a light in our path. Pray that you bless everybody here tonight. Bless this offering. Help us to be able to bless the Nail family. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody give now. Give something good. Hear this song sing called His Life for Mine. I know it'll be a blessing to you. And she gets ready to sing. Let's just enjoy it. Enjoy being saved now. Amen. Come
on. I want to thank the Lord for saving me and being good to me. And, you know, this song always speaks to my heart. And, you know, sometimes I veer away from singing it. But, you know, I can't ever grasp the thought that He would give His life for me. You know, as dirty and low down as I am, that He would actually shed His blood just to save me. So just listen to the words of this song. His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross He carried bore my burden. The nails that held Him set me free. His life for mine, His life for mine. How could it ever be that He would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. One love divine, He gave His life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He shed His blood to save my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty, and His sorrow gave me joy and soul.
stripped of his garment and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine. His life for mine.
Amen. Amen. Wasn't that good? Thank God. Bible puts it like this. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It was written to me to do thy will, O God. That's in Hebrews. Most of y'all looking at me like you never heard that before. In the volume of the book, it is written to me. That means Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life. And when you trust Him, God puts His life on your record. If that ever gets hold of you just right, that'll stir something down inside you. His life for mine. When the Lord looks at me, He don't see Danny. Thank God. He sees Jesus. Come on up here, Brother Brian. Say something for the Lord right quick. Can you? He fell off a ladder the other day. Drunk. Praise the Lord. And just come up here and say something right quick. Got your bell ready here. Got His servant with Him. Huh? Yeah. Yes, sir. He's pastor of Straightway Baptist Church in Troutman, North Carolina. And that's what happens when he's going to use our handicap ramp. Thank God. We paid thousands of dollars for that, and he'd be the first person to ever use it.
Kids use it on Sunday night.
I heard that, Sister Dom. The kids use that thing. I'm glad that thing come to use.
Thank you, preacher. You have my Bible for me. I can do that.
Where you want me to read?
No, we're good. Okay. Amen. Good to see everybody. Amen. Thank the Lord for being here. It sure is a blessing to be with you guys and to worship and fellowship with you. The singing's been great. The preaching, the testimonies. Amen. I've enjoyed it all. And I appreciate it. If you would, you can open your Bibles to Haggai, chapter number 2. Yeah. That's the third to the last book in the Old Testament. Amen. I preached here a few minutes a while back, and I preached on There's a Hole in My Bucket out of Haggai chapter number 1. Tonight I want to read out of Haggai chapter number 2. I want to read verse 3 and verse number 6. And I, of course, will not be long, but hopefully long enough to be a blessing. God use me. That's my desire. Appreciate Brother Danny. And he gave me that exact advice he spoke of. About just being glad you ain't in hell. Amen. He's actually given me that exact advice. I appreciate it. Haggai chapter number 2, verse number 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Verse number 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Reading on down to verse 9, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. If I may real quick give you just a quick background of what's taking place here. Haggai is a prophet. He is preaching in the time when the children of Israel had been given permission to go back to Jerusalem. There is under Babylonian captivity, allowed to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Rebuild the house of God. And they go back and they begin to rebuild, and all of a sudden they quit.
And for 10 years, they did not build anymore. For 10 years, they laid down the sword and the work did not get done. In Haggai chapter number 1, the prophet said to them a great challenge. It's a book of revival, and he gave them a great challenge. He said, you have your sealed houses and you seem to be able to work hard and take care of yourself. He said, but what of my house? He said, you say it is not time to build, but it's time to build. And God gives Haggai this great message of revival, and it touches the heart of the children. And within a month or two, revival takes place, and they begin to work at the end of chapter 1. Friend, when God touches your heart and you begin to work, or when you give your life to Jesus, I will promise you from personal experience, as Brother Hager, I was saved in the early 90s, I will promise you trouble is not far away.
Amen.
God knows your life. He knows man. He knows what is in man. God knows your days yesterday. He knows your day today. And He knows your tomorrows. And God knew that they would need encouragement. I mean, after all, they're looking at a temple that had been completely destroyed. All about God that they knew lay in waste. And God said, the glory of this house that I'm challenging you to start building again will be greater than the glory of the former. I want you to know that in 2012, they may have been, some of you had a great year. It may have been the best year of your life. For others, it may have been pretty bad. And for yet others, it may have been the worst years of your life. Maybe you've heard the worst news. I've heard things that have brought tears to my eyes tonight of some of you and the turmoil and the trouble and the problems that you face tonight. I've had a rough couple years, and I feel like I'm in good shape compared to what I've heard about some folks here tonight. And I'm telling you, some of you may be looking at the trouble that you've had, and it may look just like this former temple, laid in ruins up there with the bricks hewn in the wood and the stone laid to waste. And I'm telling you right now, if you can see with the eyes of God, He said that this latter house that I had you build, the glory of it will be better than the former house. By the way, the temple is a type of the Christian, the saint. Amen. The tabernacle is a type of Christ. The temple is a type of the saint. The Bible said, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That makes the temple a type of the saint. Amen. And Christ is the glory in you. Amen. And by the way, this was partially fulfilled when you got saved and the Holy Ghost came in, because He's the Spirit of Christ. Amen. And He is Christ in you. And so you have God's glory in you. Amen. Despite what the outside would think. But listen, no matter what others would see of your life, no matter the turmoil, no matter the trouble, no matter those, they may be meaning look at your life and say, he's going to quit, she's going to quit, it's over. Look at the ramble, look at the rubble of their life. It's time for them to bow out. Surely they'll fall now. Surely they'll shut up. Surely they'll give up. I mean, they have no right to continue. They have no right to move on. They need to sorrow and mourn. They need their space. They don't need to serve God. God said, is it not time for my house to be built? Listen, God said there's glory in the rubble. God said there's glory in the rubble. You may be looking at your life and it may look like it's a waste. It may look like there's nothing left. It may look like there is no hope. But friend, God said there's glory in the rubble. Amen. There's glory in the rubble of your life. It doesn't matter what the accusers say. It doesn't matter what the naysayers say. It doesn't matter what Satan would do to stand against you. It does not matter the trial or the trouble. God gives you a promise that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Amen. This thing's not over yet. I had one preacher, he gave me another round of advice. He said, Brother Brian, it looks really bad right now, don't it? I said, well, sure it does. He said, I got a message for you. It's real simple. It ain't over yet. Amen. Amen. It ain't over yet. Right. He said, you have no idea how this thing's going. I'm just telling you, it ain't over yet.
Amen.
I appreciate him for that. Let me say this. For those of you who have had trouble in your life, and maybe you've thought about giving it a towel. Maybe you're at a point where you can't go on in your own power and own strength. I want you to know God loves you, and there's glory in the rubble. Life can continue. When this thing's over with, the glory is going to be much better when it ends than it was in the former days. It's going to be far better than you can ever imagine. We win in the end. I read the last chapter. No matter what befalls us, we win in the end. I'm on the winning team.
Amen.
I thank God for that. I hope that's a blessing to you.
Amen.
When your year comes around, no matter what comes or what may, there can be glory found in the rubble.
Amen. Amen. Enjoyed that good preaching? Say amen. Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? Thank you, Brother Brian.
I just don't want to drop it.
Yeah, let's, we'll see you jump off over that thing. Ah, I was wanting to go down the steps. There you go. There you go. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, here's what I want to do now. Somebody said, we're doing our Watch Night service different this year. We're not staying the 12. I mean, we can stay the 12. Some said they wanted to. Some, but somehow, three babies wallering all over them. And so, when you pastor a church, it's not just for one or two people. It's for everybody. And so, we're going to pray out the old year and in the new year here or at home or wherever we are. So I want everybody to be on your knees praying at 12 o'clock tonight. But I want to say just a word to you tonight. And I think twice in 30-something years of pastoring have I done this. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 22. I think it's two times I've done this. I've never done what I'm going to do right now. I'm just going to preach a little short sermon. Put that bell up now. I make the rules here. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be...
8 o'clock starts now.
That's right. It's 15 to 6 in California. Revelation 22, last chapter in the Bible. And I'll give you some of my sermon in little bits and pieces already tonight. So I'm just going to give you the last part of it. The part about reading your Bible. The part about... stuff Kevin mentioned about praying, and he's absolutely right. We don't pray no more, and that's what's wrong with us. We got better stuff. Lord, they can pinpoint and screens and everything, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Maybe I'll catch up one of these days. But if we don't pray, we ain't going to see God do nothing. Revelation chapter 22, last chapter in the Bible. This is the last day of the year, and I want to read the scripture here as we finish this year out. 11, verse 11. Lord was saying right here at the very end, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. But this thing's done, it's over. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I want to preach just a minute on how not to go over the spiritual cliff in 2013. Many have already gone over the spiritual cliff. They're what we call castaways. Or shipwrecked. It's people you sit right there, that ain't here tonight. All you preachers have people in your church. This time last year, you thought, listen, there's people this time last year, and I thought, buddy, they're in, and they'll stick, and they ain't been here in 3 or 4 months, or 6 months. Out living a wrong life tonight. Went off the edge, slipped off. And if you think it can't happen to you, you're deceiving yourself. There's some things we need to do and better do. It's not just an accident that some people stay in church every year and others don't. It's not just, this happened, knocked them out, and that happened, it's not an accident. There's some things you can do. I can't never fall off this right here if I stay away from it. It's impossible. I may get weak over here and stumble and fall around over here, but I can't fall off that cliff right there if I stay away from it. And the reason people fall off cliffs is to get close to the edge. Real close to the edge. And a lot of people in churches tonight are walking the edge, and they want to get just as close to this world as they can get, but yet still hold on to the Lord. And say, I want to enjoy the Lord now. I don't want to forsake Him or nothing. I want to live right. But I want just as much of this over here as I can get to. That's a dangerous walk. Sooner or later, you'll slip. And you'll go off of the edge. Sooner or later. I want to say in 2013, I want to rededicate my life. I want to do better this coming year. I do. God knows my heart. I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher. I want to do better this year. For the glory of God. I want to read my Bible. When I first started reading my Bible, the reason I fussed at you to read it, Because when I first got saved, I made up my mind that I was going to read the whole Bible. Oh my goodness, you talk about a mess. I was 18 years old. I knew there was a God, heaven, hell. I knew a few Bible stories. That was it. I did not know Old Testament from New Testament. I did not know what dispensation meant. I did not know that there are things in the Bible that wasn't to me. I was one of these people who thought everything in there is to me. You better hope it ain't. I thought it was. Everything in the Bible is not to you. Everything in the Bible is for you, but everything in the Bible is not to you. One man told me, he said, everything in the Bible, he said to me, he did not. There's three groups of people God spoke to. Jew, Gentile, and church. Everybody in the world is in one of them three groups. Anybody who's not saved, who's not a Jew, is a Gentile. A Jew that's not saved is called a Jew. They're Jews and Gentiles. When you're saved, you're a Christian. You're in Christ. So everything in the Bible, Jew, Gentile, church. Example, don't eat certain kinds of meat, offer certain sacrifices, that's to Jews. Old Testament Jews. The Sabbath day, keeping Saturday holy, that's to Jews. The Seventh-day disadvantages have never figured that out yet. They think, you know why there's Seventh-day disadvantages? Because they think the Old Testament promises to Israel are to them. And it's not. It's just not. If it is, you can't hit a lick from Friday 6 o'clock to Saturday 6 o'clock by Israel's time. Not American time. That's about 8 hours different. Now, we're not Old Testament Jews. Let me give you another verse of Scripture. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's Gentile. Let me give you another. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's the church. So everything in the Bible is Jew, Gentile, or church. When I first started reading the Bible, I had no clue of that. Lord, have mercy, I read. I read over there where it said, them heathen, they destroyed all them heathen pictures. And then his voice said, uh-oh. I said, every picture's coming down off of the high wall. Have you ever heard anybody get off on that? Raise your hands. Anybody else, sir? There's one, two, three. Lord, I said, we ain't supposed to have no pictures. Pictures is a sin. I said, I've got a picture of Mom and Dad at my house. I said, and that's what it said, ain't it? That's what it said. You got pictures in your house? You hypocrite. The Bible said not to have. Now, that's not talking about. They were talking about pictures of false gods and bowing down and worshiping them. Oh, Lord, we read. You never heard such sermons and doctrine in all of your life. I call Habakkuk Habakkuk. I called it that for I don't know how long. I did. I said it's over in Habakkuk. I called Job, Job. I remember when I first got saved, I said it's over in the Job. Job, chapter 1. There was a man who feared God and eschewed evil. Job. J-O-B. I mean, that's Job. That's the way you spell Job. Who would have thought it was Job? I know, never. I thought an epistle was an apostle's wife. I really did. We didn't know the difference. I remember I come home. All we did was play basketball. I come home one night and I called the bleachers. I called them bleachers, the pews bleachers. I said, Mom, we had the biggest crowd tonight. The stands was full. I said, you should have been there. I said, there's a bleacher. It wasn't a seat on the bleachers nowhere. And I've been saved 3 or 4 months. I heard people keep saying, pews, pews. And then I said, oh my gosh, they're talking about the seats. I said, I've been calling them, oh, pews, that's right, pews. I said, pew? Why do they call a seat a pew? I like old Billy Kelly. Billy Kelly got saved over in Knoxville, and he'd been drunk in the pool hall, and he got him up to give his testimony the very next night. And he got up, and he didn't know what he said. He said, you people sure look pretty sitting out there in them pulpits. That's what he said. He didn't know. I was like that. And I was the same way. I had no idea what happened. And I made up my mind I was going to read the Bible. I said, all right. I got down and I said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was out form and void. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters and darkness on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God done this the first day and evening and the morning, and God saw that it was good. Man, I whizzed through there and I whizzed through there. I started, and I made myself pronounce every word.
I told him at church yesterday morning, I was preaching on this. I said, I got over there to the longest man's name in the Bible. Anybody know the longest man's name in the Bible? Raise your hand. You know the long, I heard one. It's Maher Shaler Hashbaz. He's back there in the Old Testament. I'm not sure that's the way you say it. But it's Maher Shaler Hashbaz. That's a word, brother. I used to go around saying that. Maher Shaler Hashbaz. And the interpretation of it, Brother Nail will give $1,000 tonight. And I used to go around saying that. I remember I learned a verse of Scripture. And I learned a verse of Scripture and it said, surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. I thought that is the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I remember going around, them boys, I'd point my finger at them and I'd say, surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. They said, what? I said, I don't know what that means. I just love the way it sounds. When you get right with God, there's something in you that loves to hear the Bible. Tell me, didn't that happen to you? So when a man reads the Bible, something inside you says, yeah, yeah. I thought, buddy, I was a prophet. I'd go around, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Stand up and tell us what that means, Chris.
I have no idea.
You're a pastor of a church. Surely in vain. You know, now, if you'll think about it, it means this. Surely in vain. My uncle's mom said he used to do this in the snow, and that's how I learned how to understand it. Surely in vain, the net spread inside of any bird. Mom said when it snowed, my uncle's, Dax, where's he at? Oh, you asleep? That's what I said about the kids a while ago. You take a string and you put it out there and put a little noose on it when it snows, and put some cornbread or something out there. And when the birds come in, you jerk them in there, and they'd jerk them in the window, and you'd have to catch a bunch of them. But they'd fix them and eat them. Bird leg don't have a whole lot of meat on it. A little bitty snowbird. And I thought about that, and I thought, that's what that means. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. That means birds looking at you, spreading a trap for him, you're wasting your time. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. That's a cool verse, brother. I still am amazed by that verse of Scripture. I remember going around, and the Bible said, I remember one time this guy said one time he'd asked somebody for him, and he'd said, say me not nay. I thought that is the loftiest thing. And I used to go around saying that, and I'd ask somebody, say, will you sell me this car? And the guy'd say, I don't know, preacher. And I'd say me not nay. He said, what? Say me not nay. That means don't tell me no. That's that King James English, brother. That's high cotton, brother. That's big shot talk for a little redneck boy, Nebo. I just said, one that's a lady told me, she said, Danny, I can't do that. And I said, say me not nay. She said, wow, where'd you learn how to talk like that? I said, from the Bible. I love that verse. I still love it. I'm telling you, I'm going to make up my mind this week. Listen, they say gas might go to $5 a gallon. Probably will. Milk, $8 a gallon, was said on the news yesterday. And it's going to get worse. The national debt now, $16 trillion. We can't even imagine how much money that is. I'll tell you how much you owe. You owe the national debt $139,000. Every household in here tonight owes your part $139,000, and we are going in debt at the rate of $230 million an hour in this nation. I'm telling you, brother, the real news tonight is not that Kim Kardashian is pregnant. The real news tonight is not, brother, that Honey Boo Boo is going to get a house built by Oprah. And get her. That is not the news, people. I'm telling you, the real news tonight is not that Gangman Saw. Gangman Saw. Didn't know I know that, did you? I just learned it the other day. Raise your hand, teenagers. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? All the teenagers know what I'm talking about. Raise your hand. Some nut made a video, and somebody brought it to me. To me said, Brother Danny, you got to see this. I said, what is it? And he looks like he's on Hawaii 5-0. He's wearing sunglasses. He's like, Gangman Saw. And everybody gone crazy over it. My singing group back here on the back knows it, don't you? Raise your hand back, our girls. My Felice Navidad girls. There, she does. That ain't the news, people! What is Gangnam Style? Would somebody tell me? Who gives a hoot? I'm telling you something, brother. That is not the news. They have now making a new version of the Bible. We all knew it was coming. The Queen James Version. Yes, sir. Look it up on YouTube, internet. Queen James Version. I'll give you one guess who it's wrote for. A section of our country that wants superior rights to everybody else. I want to say tonight, renew my vows. I said, number one, I'm going to read my Bible by the help of the Lord. Number two, I'm going to renew my vows by the help of the Lord. To God, to church, Shining Light Baptist Church, I'm your pastor. I ain't much of one, but I'm going to renew my vows to be a better pastor in 2013. I can't do it by myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Somebody said one time, I said, Danny, you're not indestructible. No, I'm not. But I tell you what I am. As long as God wants me doing what I'm doing, I can't be. There ain't enough devils in hell to stop a man when God wants him to do what he's doing. Now, he might pull a plug on me tonight, but he'd be just if he did. But as long as God gives me breath and strength, I'm going to stand and tell people this is the right way and serve the Lord in 2013. Shining Light Baptist Church, I want to renew my vows to you. Amen. I want to renew my vows, my commitments. I want to get everybody saved I can get saved. I was telling Brother Wayne, my friend here from Florida, who's up with us, I was telling him some stories about my girls when they were little. And all their life when they were little, I'd leave them, I'd go off preaching somewhere, and we'd have a babysitter come over and stay till 10 or 10:30, and then they would, when the babysitter would leave, they'd put them in bed. I'd say, you make them go to bed at 9:30, and then the babysitter would get them in bed, and they'd leave 10 o'clock. When the babies are, they'd be back up in the living room eating ice cream. And I never did fuss at them much for doing it because I'd be over on the other side of Lenore somewhere and I'd be coming home and the oldest one there, Carrie, she'd call me. And the one behind her is the middle one. The baby had a little surgery on her arm this morning. She ain't here tonight. She'd come in and she said, Daddy, where are you? I said, I'm in Lenore. It'd be about 45 minutes. It'd be about 11 o'clock. She'd say, how much longer is it going to be? It's starting to get a little scary. And I said, y'all, how come you ain't asleep? And they'd say, I can't go to sleep. And I'd always tell them, they'd say, we don't want to go to bed. We don't want to go to sleep. We're not sleepy. And I said, you don't have to go to sleep. But you do got to lay down and close your eyes. Lay down, close your eyes. Don't say a word. I'm not sleepy. I didn't say go to sleep. And I'd say, you pray for everybody you know. Pray for everybody you can think of. And before you get through, you'll be asleep. That's true. You know what psychiatrists advise you to do? Count sheep. You know where that come from? I pray for Cassandra. I pray for Peanut. I pray for Malachi. I pray for Terry. I pray for Wayne. Pray for Miss B. Pray for Ray. I'm counting sheep. That's how you go to sleep at night. Praying for everybody you know. Not turn on the stereo to Gangnam Style or whatever it is. I mean, you pray for everybody you know to go to sleep. I want to renew my vows. Give me a couple things right quick, and I'll be done. I think you ought to leave your church in something in your will. We don't know who's going to die this year. I think while you're making your will, family, friends, whatever, put something in your church. If that wasn't your church, some of you people would be going to hell. You ought to put something in your will for your church. That's completely off the subject. I just felt like I ought to say it for you tonight. Amen. Amen? Amen. Leave it some money. Leave it some property. Leave it a house. Leave it something. Listen, brother. Leave it to God's work. Do something for God for you as you leave this world. And pay no attention to that man walking in back there tonight. Stand up. That's Eugene. This is New York time. This is what this starts at New York time, 7 o'clock New York time, right? That's what I figured. Listen, they preach on the subways in New York City, y'all. Let me say a couple things right quick. Everybody in here tonight, renew your vows to your mate, husbands and wives. Good idea? Renew your vow. Now, I've been doing marriage counseling for many, many, many years. I do not have a degree from a school, but I sure have found out some stuff. Marriage counseling. I sit right there in my office. I've heard everything you can imagine. I don't love them no more. I'm tired of being married. Usually when somebody says I don't love them no more, they sort of like somebody else over here. 9 times out of 10. 1 out of 10, they don't. 9 times out of 10, they already like somebody else. But then when they finally get with them, they say they didn't have nothing to do with it. Because physically they didn't. And you know what? I've been doing this a long time. And let me tell you something about this marriage business. I don't care what they say on TV. You are an imperfect person. Your mate is an imperfect person. Two imperfect people cannot make a perfect relationship. Cannot be done. So just because you've got problems in your relationship is no reason. You look around and say, well, I ain't got what they got on TV, and we had a fuss yesterday, so I'm leaving. I'm going to find me somebody else. Two imperfect people cannot make a perfect relationship. There's going to be trouble in your marriage. And folks, you know the devil's got his guns turned on every marriage in here tonight. He's got his guns turned on you. Sometimes it can't be helped. Sometimes a person won't live with you. If they won't, it ain't your fault. You go on and do the best you can and live for God. But brother, two people, both right with God, can get along. They may not have heaven on earth, probably won't. But I'll tell you something, brother. The only way you're going to have a good marriage, are you listening? The only way that you're going to have a good marriage is both of you be willing to do what the Bible says. I hear it all the time. He takes that verse of Scripture, Brother Danny, that says, wives, submit to your husband, and he just abuses me with it. And I do know that happens. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of backslid King James Bible-believing men who think there's some kind of hot stuff in their house, who treat their wife like a dog and use that Scripture to justify being mean to their wife. And they're full of the devil. Amen? On the other hand, the woman takes that other verse of Scripture and says, you're supposed to love me like Christ loved the church. That means you're never supposed to fuss at me. You're supposed to buy me anything I want. No matter what I want to do, you're supposed to agree with it. You're supposed to shut up till I get through. Okay, let me help you out here a little bit. In the Bible, the husband's a picture, the Lord Jesus Christ's picture of the husband, and the church's picture of the wife. Right? I'm about sick of hearing what I'm getting ready to tell you. Ever try to? She said, I left him. Why? He's too controlling. I wish whoever thought that up would get their head slapped off. Because when Christian women got a hold of that, they said, whoo, this is what I've been looking for. I can rebel and blame it on him. And the very fact that you don't like that shows how backslid your heart is. If you was right with God, you'd say, you're right, preacher. You're telling the truth. And the very fact you don't like it shows you're full of the devil. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ is a picture of the bridegroom. We're part of the church. I can show you in Revelation chapter 2 where he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The Lord tells us what we can do, what we can't do.
Amen.
The Lord tells us how to live our life, what we can say, the kind of language we can use. So by your standards, we can look at him and say, you're too controlling. According to you ladies in here, he's too controlling. We're supposed to be submissive to him and everything. Now what I'm preaching to you is in the Bible, and you're sitting there about to die saying, ain't no man going to tell me. Yeah, I know how you are. You don't want a husband. You want a slave. On the other hand, ladies, a man that's mean to a woman ought to have his head beat in. Amen. Amen. A man that does try to dictate a woman to every move she can make and every word she can make ought to be spanked good. It don't mean you're the dictator. It don't mean she don't have a brain. If God didn't want her to think, He wouldn't give her a brain. But you see, there's a balance. The Lord tells us what to do, but He does it in love, and we love Him. If we don't obey Him, we'll pay the price. He don't make... You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, "Bless God, my wife didn't do what I told her to, I'd cram a dish rag in her mouth." And everybody shouted. I thought, what an idiot. I know some of you ain't going to cram no dish rag in her mouth. He'd shoot you. And I'm trying to be as fair and balanced as I possibly can. Most husbands... they're backslid. They love their self. That's why I'm telling you it can't work unless both of you is willing to do what God wants you to do. You say, "She won't submit to you." You ain't willing to die for her neither. I heard about one fellow, they won a trip to Hawaii for two and he went twice. That's how selfish a lot of men are. It's me, 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 I. We watch what I want to watch on TV. We go out to eat where I want to go eat. Shut up, woman. Yeah, that ain't the way Jesus done the church. I'm being fair now. You read these books they put out on marriage, and all those books are is for women who want to control their husbands. Marriage should not be redefined. It should be reinforced. Amen? Men, consider her needs and her feelings. And do everything you can to please her and be good to her. But just because he tries to help you or correct you or say something to you, ladies, don't mean he's true and to control. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." You say, "Well, he's Jesus." I know that. I understand that. The only way you can have a good marriage is both of you be willing to do what the Bible says. I don't care if you buy her two new cars a year. I don't care if you clean house 24 hours a day. It ain't going to be a good marriage till both of you. Right. It works both ways. Jesus ain't mean to the church. But every time he says something, the church ain't supposed to say, you're mean to me. You hurt my feelings. You should agree with me, Jesus. No. I preach on a 7-year-old level so all you adults can get it. I learned that a long time ago. In 2013, Lord have mercy. I know how you preachers are. I do the same thing, do it all the time. I told the church about it, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm done. We'll get out of here in a minute. We're going to pray. I heard this the other day. Preachers, sometimes... I've been guilty. I try not to be guilty of this, but I've heard preachers do it, and I made up my mind a long time ago, I ain't never going to do this. We don't single people out when we preach to them. You know what I'm saying? I told this at our church the other day, I'll tell a few visitors. You don't supposed to do that. Some preachers, because they don't have no guts, and they got something against somebody in their church, will get up and all but call somebody's name, and they don't have enough Christian manhood to go sit down and talk to them in person. But it's obvious who they're talking about. That ain't right. You're not supposed to use the pulpit to take pot shots at some individual. You know, you've heard him get up and say, "I'll tell you one thing. I'm sick and tired of these people that wear these purple shirts. I ain't going to name nobody's name or nothing. Claim to be Christians and they're play piano and walk around like they own the place." I mean, it's obvious who I'm talking about. Well, this preacher got up. He started doing that and he done everything. He's mad at one of his deacons. He said, "I'm going to nail him Sunday morning." He said, "I'll call." He called that. He done everything to call his name. He ranted. He raved. He's hypocrite. Everybody sitting there said, "Ooh." And that old, he said, when the service is over, he said, a woman come out the door. She said, "Preacher, you just don't know how that, you was talking right to me. Everything you said, I know the Lord meant it for me." Then a man came out the door. Man came out the door. "Preacher, that you I don't know how, you must have been at my house. You was talking right to me. Preacher, you nailed me tonight. Oh, oh! Another man come out. Preacher, every word you said, the Lord's running. Finally, the old deacon come out. Preacher reached out his hand and grabbed him. He said, Preacher, you really told them this morning. Went on out the door. You know what? Ain't that the way it goes? The one you really, one that really needs it, don't get it, do they? You can preach a sermon mean as you can preach, and your best ones will come to the altar. And the meanest ones never get under conviction. But you know what we got to do? We just got to keep on plugging. Keep on plugging. Just keep on plugging. I'll say this and I'm through. I want to challenge every preacher here tonight. Go home and start you a bus route. If you can't got a bus, you got cars. That's all that's going to matter anyway. I told you about our big day we had last Sunday, Sunday before Christmas. Had 214 on buses, had 26 kids saved. And you know what? One of these days when we look back, that's all that's going to matter. It ain't what a great sermon we preach. And you can do it. I challenge every preacher in here tonight in 2013, get you a bus, get you a van, get you a minivan, get you a car. I got a Toyota 4Runner. I've had 11 in that Toyota 4Runner and got stopped by the cops with 11 in there. He let me go. They was hanging out the back window. They really was. It's hurt. There's a bunch of y'all, wasn't it? Rat, here's her, that's her. She's got 11, 12 brothers and sisters. That you make one stop and fill up a bus at her house.
Amen.
It's truth. Yeah. We're counting the grandkids and everybody else. I bet there's 20 in the house they live in. This lady here, raise your hand up, Lisa. Eight? You got 7 or 8? 7! They've just been coming lately. Listen, that's all that's going to matter one of these days, preachers. There's a trailer park. I was preaching in Florida while Miss Dessie's coming to the piano. Preacher took me out. Wayne knows the preacher, Jason Kiefer. And we was going to have a tent meeting. We was going to have a big meeting on Friday night. Try to get a bunch of young people saved. And he said, Danny, right down here's a trailer park and right down there's a trailer park. He said, we got on the internet. There's 16 registered sex offenders in them two trailer parks. Half a mile down the road. 16 that we know of. We go down here on Brother Mike's route. Raise your hand now, Brother Mike. Brother Mike's school teacher in Hickory. He was teacher of the year last year in the Hickory school system. And he drives that bus every week, works his bus route on Saturday. And we was down there at his route, and there's some of them projects down there where these kids laying, running around everywhere playing. And about that time, big old car jacked up a pull in there with big dubs on it, about that big 20-inch chrome rims. And somebody would come in there, and you can see people running out to it, back, running out to it, back, dealing them drugs. And you know what I thought when I was down there we was visiting? Ain't it a shame the devil's got his evangelist out there on Saturday morning reaching them kids for hell, and the church people saying, we don't want people like that in our church. I've even had preachers tell me, well, I don't want to bring a bunch of kids in there and corrupt our good kids. Don't kid me. Your good kids sometimes more full of the devil than some of them other kids.
Amen.
Lord never said our church is just for good kids. My foot. One man told me, he said, I keep my church little so I can keep it pure. I said, well, Jesus had 12 and one was a devil. You doing better than Jesus? You got 24, you got two devils. Or you're doing better than Jesus Christ, and you ain't doing better than Jesus. You got 24, you probably got 3 or 4 devils. You just don't know it. Let's make up our mind. In 2013, get us a bus route. You say, why you preach on that all the time? Because that could be one of my kids or one of my grandkids out there. And that breaks my heart, think about it. Them little kids that got shot up there in Connecticut the other day. Wasn't that pitiful? Wasn't that the awfulest thing? I believe the demons got in that boy and told him to go over there and do that. So they'll pass gun laws and take away our liberties, and we're headed towards the time for the Antichrist takeover. That's why I did that. People say, why did he do that? That's why I just told you. Demons told him to do it. He wasn't crazy. If a person's just crazy, how come they don't go bake a cake for all the people in the neighborhood and give it to them? Huh? Why go shoot them? He ain't crazy. He's demon-led and possessed. That boy's brilliant. I want to say to you tonight, I've never done this at a What's Not service. We've never even had one like this. But let's get down to business and rededicate our life and do something for God. Read our Bible. Renew our vows. Every husband and wife here tonight, tell you how to stay married. Learn how to forgive all the time. Forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Just like the Lord does us, forgive your wife, your husband. Now, if somebody won't live with you, I ain't fussing at you. I've been through all that. If ain't nothing you can do about it, somebody won't live with you. But if you're going to live together, forgive each other. Start all over tonight. If you get rid of them, get you nothing. You might fuss just as bad or worse. But just learn how to forgive. Honor God. Let's stand. Father, help us tonight. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us.